Drop it. Welcome back to the Young Turks Power Panel. Friday's show, it's been a big week. It's going to be a big show. I'm Johnny Arola, but we're also joined by Brian Unger, who is here, and Ryan Clinton as well, back on the show after a long absence, in both cases, actually. Jared Jackson is still JR rated, and he's over there. I don't know if his camera's set up yet, so I apologize if I prematurely did that. But it's going to be a big show. We're going to try to have a little bit of fun. Unfortunately, the threat of thermonuclear war sort of messed up that plan a little bit. So we're going to talk about that, obviously. We're going to get to a little bit of fun, too, though. Now, you guys haven't been on in just a little bit, so what have you been up to? I know that you have plans coming up for this weekend, actually.
Yeah, totally.
People can get involved in.
The tax march is going on this weekend to kind of call on Donald Trump to release his taxes. So if people want to plug into that, go to taxmarch.org. You can also go to puppettrump.com and get like finger puppets and,
yeah, I believe we have
and like paper bag puppets, which are kind of fun. Hey, there's... You can print your own kids and you know, hand them out at the tax march and call attention to the fact that Trump's a puppet of Steve Bannon and a puppet of Putin, and there's like face masks for those guys too. So, but really, I've just been sticking my foot up Trump's ass every chance I get.
I've noticed that. We've reported on a couple of your recent efforts. It's weird because this tax march is going on, but I keep hearing that nobody cares about the taxes.
Oh,
Trump said that.
I know, he said it over and over again.
Weird, and yet, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, there'll be thousands of people.
Yeah,
that they care.
So you're going to be at the LA March.
Yep.
I'm also going to be at the LA March, and there are marches going on across the country.
Join us.
And we haven't seen you in a while. What have you got to?
I've been building my bunker.
Okay.
And collecting as much freeze-dried food as I can. So that means visiting a lot of Mormon-related places, a lot of stores, and buying as much powdered eggs, powdered milk, powdered everything.
Doesn't sound good.
I plan on just kind of sitting in my bunker this weekend and doing my taxes.
Yeah,
which I thought would be a good thing to do.
Well, your culinary situation does not sound tasty, but probably fewer food violations than Mar-a-Lago is currently facing right now. So that's good. Maybe stick to the dry food for just a little while.
That was an amazing tie-in, by the way.
I'm trying. I don't want people to forget that this guy who constantly talks up his food, like I tweeted out yesterday, like he's not a brave man, but he does eat there all the time, which takes some balls considering how dangerous the food is. So I do want to give him credit at least for that. But anyway, with that, we do have a lot to get to. Obviously, we've got hashtag TYT Live going. You should be tweeting throughout these stories. Let us know what you think about both what we're talking about in the show today, but also what's been going on in the country. And when we come back from our first break, we're going to read some of those for you. But with that, why don't we jump into the most serious story of the day. Yesterday, the situation with North Korea was tense, and today it is terrifying because we are possibly on the brink of war. Now, it seemed like that for years now. You're constantly, a ship goes in the region, or the regime in North Korea puts out a threatening statement. There's a lot of reason to be scared if you want to be, but it is recently ramped up just in the past 24 hours. Especially when we find out this. The US is prepared to launch a preemptive strike with conventional weapons against North Korea should officials become convinced that North Korea is about to follow through with a nuclear weapons test, according to multiple senior US intelligence officials. Those intelligence officials told NBC News that the US has positioned two destroyers capable of shooting Tomahawk cruise missiles in the region, one just 300 miles from the North Korean nuclear test site. American heavy bombers are also positioned in Guam to attack North Korea should it be necessary. And earlier this week, the Pentagon announced that the USS Carl Vinson aircraft carrier strike group was being diverted to the area, which brings with it additional ships capable of firing cruise missiles and all of that. Now, in the wake of that report coming out, I believe late last night, some people have said no, that that's actually not true, and that those multiple senior intelligence officials were all simultaneously lying to NBC News. It's possible when we get into the response from China and from North Korea that there's a reason they're trying to back off from this very hostile position that they'd set. But as of right now, it is entirely possible that were they to conduct another nuclear test, which they've done over the past decade or two, that a war could begin. And if we launch missiles, we don't know how North Korea might respond, but I think that there's reason to be scared. What do you guys think?
I mean, we have like two like idiot man child like going toe to toe playing with their like big toys, right? Mm-hmm. Like Donald Trump's now started to play with the big toys, the bombs, and he's super excited about what he can do with these. And like he's like, ooh, where can we go next and like drop another mother of all bombs? Maybe it's North Korea. maybe it'll be a nuclear weapon. I'm sure there's no difference between electing Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I mean, there was just zero difference. I'm sure Hillary Clinton would be doing the exact same thing right now, dropping bombs all across the world, using the largest conventional weapons we have, and antagonizing us into World War III. You know, I mean, like, we've really like put ourselves in a dangerous situation. We're facing dark days. This could be a world war, and it's a nuclear world war. You know, this is an existential threat.
Yeah.
And now it's becoming true. So we need to impeach this guy like with the quickness ASAP. We have to get him out of this office. I don't think, as much as I dislike Mike Pence, who is like a horrible guy politically, I don't think he'd be doing this.
Yeah, I don't think most would. I mean, even like, so you brought up Hillary Clinton. So Hillary Clinton is inside the Democratic Party considered a hawk. I'm sure that were she to be president, we'd still have drone strikes in the Middle East and we'd still have bombs being dropped in Syria and all that. I don't have any doubt about that. I don't think people were predicting that we'd be on the brink of war with North Korea. I don't even know, honestly, I to the exclusion of most of my personal life, I follow what's going on with Trump. I don't even know how with Trump it's come to this, because you would think, at least in the case of North Korea, the people who are supposedly rational around him would restrain him, but they can't even keep him from tweeting. He's constantly on Twitter antagonizing North Korea. North Korea has specifically referenced his tweets when talking about the possibility of conflict. So this is a unique situation, one that even I hadn't predicted as of a month or two ago.
Well, I am sure that the Pentagon is going forward with a scenario that they have gamed for many, many years. I don't know, but I think they've just been given a really long leash to go ahead and execute. I don't know what the result will be. Of course, I do think about, though, that the tenet, the doctrine of nuclear nonproliferation has been kind of a cornerstone of ours. And it's sort of a fundamental of the UN Security Council. And it's why we have these nations on this council to basically police. We don't want anyone else to have a nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a guy who has a nuclear bomb now, and he's threatening to test it, and he's threatening to use it against us. I don't know what the scenario, the proper.
You mean Trump, right?
he's going to use that mother of all bombs. It's a non-nuclear warhead.
Oh, okay.
which war is
it? It's fine then, kids. Don't
worry. Moab. So I don't know what the
proper solution
is, but I do know that what doesn't work well is when we remove dictators and we have a society. Imagine that society without the leadership there. What happens to
if we
that
just
country?
Removed him?
Let's say we have a strike and we remove him and destroy their nuclear capacity or a capacity to wage nuclear war. You have an indoctrinated society that then succumbs to what? Chinese influence, and they move in and make it a satellite of China.
That might be the best case scenario.
Look, that's why you don't assassinate world leaders. It's not our job to kill the leader of North Korea, right? It's the job of the people in North Korea to get rid of their dictator. Yeah. And if you want to do it effectively, you should do it nonviolently. There's like tons of work that shows that nonviolence civil resistance movements are 3 times more successful than violent ones. And when you replace them, those dictators, if you got there violently, you're likely to have a violent government. But if you got there nonviolently, you're more likely to have a democratic government. It's not our job to go shoot that guy.
So what happens when we do that? That's what frightens. Well, that is,
you're saying if we were to
take
him out.
I'm just, if we remove the leadership there and it becomes some sort of amorphous country on the border of China, and of course, South Korea. Like, I hope there's a strategy. That's just all. This is like, you know, we're sort of like we're trying to sort of trim the grass without pulling the weeds out by the roots. And I don't really understand what is the plan
with
China and what happened at Mar-a-Lago. What discussions between those two men went down where Trump said, "Hey, I'm going to take out this asshole with or without you." Is that what he said?
And then they tried to explain to him what the situation actually was. And he said, oh, it turns out it's not that simple.
So it's a bad case scenario either way.
Yeah.
I think that the instability is clearly there. And, you know, he is determined to follow through on a campaign promise.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
he's still campaigning. He's
That's
always
true.
Campaigning.
Yeah, he already officially
And one of the
started
things he always faulted Obama for was not dealing with the problem. And so I think he's going to deal with it, much to the detriment of all of us here on the West Coast.
Well,
you guys are welcome.
That's
to
true.
Hit the
We're
bunker.
The closest people.
My bunker is friggin' awesome. Too,
yeah, I hear you got dried eggs.
The powdered eggs are amazing.
Powdered eggs, yeah. So you raised a lot of points there.
So we can ride out if there's sort of like
hopefully they'll eat the powdered eggs.
Like, let's just say the fallout is sort of reserved to LA Metro. I'm on the outskirts. We ride to Mexico.
Sweet. We take a big loop around
LA
County.
You gotta laugh about it. We're all gonna be just covered in boils and it's gonna
we're all gonna die.
Okay, so you've raised a couple of
I don't know, I'm raising things without providing answers.
No, and look, I don't have answers. Now, I have studied the Korean situation back when I was in academia, at least to some extent. I've read some books that specifically attempted to break down hour by hour how a conflict between North Korea and South Korea and the US would go. And there's no, in this case, there is no trimming the grass. Like, the idea that we can simply launch cruise missiles to destroy the site of a nuclear test, he's an unstable person. Maybe he just backs off. Or maybe he begins shelling Seoul and kills hundreds of thousands of people inside of 24 hours.
You mean Trump, right?
No, in this case, no. the ability, like, whether he has functional ballistic missiles. He doesn't appear to have one that's intercontinental, which is awesome for us in LA. He could have none of that. He could kill hundreds of thousands or millions of people in South Korea almost immediately using conventional weapons that are emplaced in mountains and are difficult to take out. Our military has looked into it, and as of at least several years ago, we can't simply destroy those in some sort of first strike. So we're talking about bloodshed on a scale that we haven't seen in the world in decades and decades. Now, if we could somehow destroy him, just him, which I don't think is necessarily possible, you would then have some other general prop himself up as emperor of North Korea, basically, I think. If you were to destroy all of that, then you would have a society that probably is not capable of running itself. You don't have civil society, you don't have a middle class. That's why I say in that case, the best case scenario is probably China moving in and helping those people. I mean, they're already starving widely. That would be even broader without the people who are running the economy there, because it's all centralized.
Mm-hmm. But how's that our job?
I mean, I never said anything about it being our job. I'm simply just describing what I think might happen. I'm not for launching a military strike against them. Now, as you say, we don't want them to have nuclear weapons, and that's totally true. But we also don't want South Korea to be absolutely devastated because of a strike that we do. And so our desire might be to stop them from having a nuclear weapon, but we might have no way of doing that without the unthinkable happening.
And the one thing they said is that they're not going to go forward with this attack. America is not going to go forward with this attack unless South Korea kind of gives it the green light.
So
that's like the one thing I read in here. I was like, okay, maybe World War III isn't quite starting like this week. You know, like maybe we have a few more weeks to enjoy, you know, the coast.
Yeah.
In California.
I really like being in the middle of you two.
seat's terrible.
I wonder
we need a triangular desk.
I want to know how the dinner and the chocolate cake we heard about at Mar-a-Lago went between Trump do you know what I'm saying?
Let's hear what they talk about.
I'm sorry to extend it too much, but you can only base it off of what we've seen, the way he reacts. We're talking about our president. And it's braggadocio, it's puffing a chest, it's talking a lot without too much behind it until you have to act behind it to do something again for yourself, not because for anyone else. So any of these strikes that have the vague nature of, oh, I'm doing something for America, I'm gonna do something that our last president wouldn't do, it's actually to pump himself up. Mm-hmm. So now you have two guys who are similar in nature, because we know the leaders of North Korea have to continually be pumped up by people who fake fawning, fainting, and crying over their presence. We've seen that. So it's just an extreme level of our president already. So you have two people who want to talk a lot just to show how big their hands are. And then after they do it, they have to act. So they're both standing there going, okay, which one of you, being to each other, is going to act now? And we already know President Trump has no idea how anything works. There's stories about how he was ready to shut down the Ex-Im Bank until one of the CEOs of Boeing came forward and said, you know how this works, right? And goes, oh, my bad, okay. And then he also didn't even know how the FISA court works with getting tapped by Obama until after he made the accusations at the beginning of March. Mm-hmm. Then he asked, oh, how does that FISA thing work? He doesn't know how anything works. So there is no plan, because if he had one, it's based in ignorance. He doesn't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it is quickly becoming a Cuban Missile Crisis, and we're approaching the hour. And I don't think Trump would back down, and I don't know anything about North Korea and whether it's just bluff or whatever.
But, yeah. But armed Cuban Missile Crisis started in November when this guy was elected. And we need to be the Kennedy administration, you know, and get rid of this guy. We don't need to get rid of the leader of North Korea. That's North Korea's job. Our job is to get rid of Donald Trump and impeach him so he can't start World War III
by messing around with control.
We can't impeach him in time. The fleet is already on its way.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just, you know what I'm saying? I'm with you.
Right. Well, it's not going to happen this week. South Korea said no.
And you this is going to seem so stupid, but what I think about when I think about Donald Trump trying to, he's the guy who has to manage North Korea right now. We talked about he doesn't understand the export-import bank. He doesn't understand the FISA courts. He doesn't understand healthcare. Said it was really simple. I've seen pictures. Have you seen the pictures of his ties? He doesn't realize that you tuck the little tail in the loop.
He tapes it.
Yeah. He doesn't understand how the little loop works.
No, he
how
just is he prefers. Gonna do
he must tie them too short to get down to the
tape.
To the holding loop, which means he has to make.
Maybe that's the.
He has a big belly. He wants to make sure his tie makes it.
He and Melania,
but he made those
the morning,
ties.
Honey,
he made those ties. Like you could make special ties that have like the little tag like up here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Extra long tie.
Yeah. He made the tie.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I do want to read a little bit of the response from some of the other actors.
That's true.
It's the best. Great tape.
It's the best.
Great tape ever.
So on Wednesday, North Korea said it would hit the US first with a nuclear weapon should there be any signs of US strikes. So far as I know, they don't have any capability to actually do that, if that makes you feel better. On Thursday, North Korea warned of a merciless retaliatory strike should the US take any action, which at least that's backing off what they said on Wednesday. On Wednesday, they said they'd go first. On Thursday, they said retaliation. Maybe we're moving in the right direction. And Chinese foreign minister said this in the midst of all of this back and forth between our government and North Korea, saying, amid challenge, there is opportunity. Amid tensions, we will also find a kind of opportunity to return to talks. We call on all parties to refrain from provoking and threatening each other, whether in words or actions, and not let the situation get to an irreversible and unmanageable stage. And statements from the Russian government saying something similar. That everybody needs to calm down, back off from military conflict. Because again, it would be devastating for North Korea, devastating for us, especially devastating for the people of South Korea who did not sign up for any of this. Anyway, why don't we turn to slightly different kind of potential bombing or bombing we've already done. Fox News reacted to Donald Trump dropping the so-called mother of all bombs pretty much exactly how you'd expect, and it's disgusting. Let's watch. You hear mother freedom start a ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. It all brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. And that's what happens when a 21,000 pound bomb explodes in the Afghanistan-Pakistan region, where at least 36 ISIS fighters have lost their life.
That's right.
Welcome to the final hour of the week on Fox and Friends. And guess who's here? Do you recognize
Geraldo
him?
Rivera. Hey, Geraldo. Geraldo, my video's black and white.
Good morning.
That is what freedom looks like. That's the red, white, and blue.
Well, one of my favorite things in the 16 years I've been here at Fox News is watching bombs drop on bad guys.
By the way, that's a scan of my heart as well. If you notice that there's some occlusion on the ventricle,
Brian Unger's heart is what freedom looks like. I want to tweet. What does freedom look like? I don't think dropping a 21,600 pound GPS guided bomb is. I wouldn't be in the first 300 replies. I don't think. But they think not only is that what freedom looks like, and Geraldo said. There's nothing, after 16 years at Fox News, there's nothing I like more than watching bombs drop on bad guys. And playing that song that's brought to you by the red, white, and blue. Not just like the rest of the media, where they don't really want to be critical when there's a possibility of war. They generally fall in line. Brian Williams will say it's a beautiful pictures of guided missiles and all that. Pretty disgusting. But playing that song and then chuckling, so happy. They're still humans at core, aren't they? Aren't they supposed to have some sort of, concern for where this could go, what precedent is being set? But apparently not.
And Geraldo has his hand up that woman's skirt, and you don't even see it. That's how good they are over there at Fox. So, and then that's what freedom looks like. Everyone plays their own narrative in a weird American patriotic jingoistic way, and it's like, it is, everybody has their corporate strategy to like exploit this shit and turn it into some kind of like soap opera. And it's, that's theirs. CNN has theirs. MSNBC has their own too. And it's like, you know, it's they're turning this into entertainment. But that is particularly silly and stupid because it sounds like, you know, we fault other people for sort of like playing hymns or other kinds of music underneath their reports, or we blame the Russians for their kind of nationalistic fervor. But that's where we're at in this sort of nationalistic, crazy sort of fervor.
And the problem is like the whole world's watching while that's going
that's
on, right?
Yeah.
So they're watching like us so essentially dumb. Like cheerlead for bombs dropping without any remorse or gravitas or sense of like the loss of human life, you know? And I think that it's one of the most dangerous things you can have is to say that this is what freedom looks like. And if that is their concept of freedom, like our message to the world then is like, we will freedom the shit out of you. You know what I mean? And like the whole world is like, oh my God, America's gone crazy. They've dropped the largest bomb besides a nuclear weapon already. We're not even 100 days into this guy being in office, and we dropped the mother of all bombs, and we're like getting into like multiple conflicts throughout the world, you know? I mean, the world, I just can't even imagine what the leaders of the world are thinking. I know what they're probably looking, the voters of the world that I've talked to are like, we're gonna get the hell out of here, and we can't even go travel in Europe anymore without like without getting a visa. Did you know that? They're like changing the rules about American travel. Yeah, and like there's consequences to this type of behavior, you know?
Yeah.
Them watching us and going, Americans have gone crazy. They're cheerleading bombs dropping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and look, so I want to respond to one thing that they said there at the end. It was a report, 36 ISIS fighters killed when that bomb was dropped. Look, every one of those ISIS fighters, theoretically, if they were ISIS fighters, and very often, historically in the US, we label people who've been bombed as being combatants that weren't necessarily, but let's say they're right. This is an area, those tunnels that has been used for way over a decade to launch attacks on us and some of our allies, civilians, all of that. So if they are ISIS fighters, like they're gonna have the violent delights and lead to violent ends or whatever, they might well die. And so if we criticize any of this, some people will say that, you know, you libs don't understand what you're going up against or what the conflict is all about. It's not about that at all. It's that we understand that bombing, as we talked about all this week, as we've talked about for years, you don't just have a bomb, kill a terrorist, and then you're one terrorist closer to being done with global terrorism. That's not how it works. And really fast, on the 36, I want to say, they said 36 fighters died. That is 100% bullshit. And I'm not saying it wasn't more. It could have been more. It could have been left. I know one thing. It wasn't 36. They dropped a bomb that destroys things up to a mile from the blast radius. Inside of like a quarter mile, it shreds skyscrapers, will destroy reinforced concrete structures. They specifically said they used it because of the seismic effect could compact and destroy tunnel networks. And in less than 24 hours, they know how many people were in those tunnel networks. If it destroys reinforced structures made of concrete, what do you think it does to a human body for 1,000 yards from the blast point? And they reconstructed ISIS fighters to count how many people were there?
Well, they found 38 cars in the ISIS parking lot when they...
Jesus.
And listen,
but to your original,
it's not
it
a scientific
wasn't 36,
way.
That's what
that's
I'm saying.
They found
that
those cars.
BS. It might have been 500. I have no idea. I know it wasn't 36. They are talking out of their ass.
Right. And to your original point, like this isn't about national security, right? This isn't. And that was hilarious.
That was dumb.
But
that's what freedom looks like and sounds like, folks.
For real, this isn't about national security. What this is about the idiot man-child in the Oval Office playing with his new toys. He's like, what's the biggest bomb you'll let me use? Mm-hmm. A nuclear weapon? They're like, no, not nuclear weapons. Even though he doesn't need anybody's permission to launch a nuclear weapon. He launched the largest bomb that we have that's not a nuclear weapon less than 100 days into being in the Oval Office. This is like Caligula and Nero level, like Emperor Trump stuff going on. Like he will burn the world down if we don't get him out of that office. You're like saying, well, we can't do it in a week. Like, hell yeah, we can. Like, if all of us got on it and realized this is dangerous. He's launching the largest conventional weapons we have. He's provoking North Korea into potentially nuclear conflict. Get rid of him.
Yeah.
Put him out of office.
I think he has, I think he's, you know, there's the battlefield and then there's the domestic terrorism. He's making domestic terrorism even more of a possibility because we're dropping bombs, you know, and we're dropping bombs on people that infuriate already, as we know, American citizens who then suddenly, you know, you know, subscribe to an ISIS philosophy and go out. So that's unnerving as well. But I just think he's like basically said to the Pentagon, you guys go do your thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a quote about that actually. He essentially gave them as much autonomy and leash as you need. Yeah. Take it. That's what he said.
I'll sit up. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is like classic apprentice. This is like, you guys go do your thing.
and then we'll see what happens at the end
and we'll meet you back in the boardroom.
I think he sees the world that way.
And it is fucking frightening.
Yeah. I think he's given apparently a lot more autonomy to the military to launch strikes and stuff like that. I still think using the Moab, I think that came from him. I think he literally asked, what's the biggest thing you have? Or he said, I want to use a nuke. And they were like, distract him for a bit. Show him the Moab. Maybe that'll get him back in a while.
Ted Cruz said I could nuke the desert. Why? Yeah. I want to nuke it.
Yeah, so I want to talk a little bit more about our bombing policy, though. Because you see how excited the mainstream media largely, like they kind of want to clap a little bit. Look, it's US force abroad. Hoorah. Look at red, white, and blue. Fox News. Whatever criticism they once had of Donald Trump, and I understand that Fox and Friends did not, but other aspects of Fox did. Now he's dropping bombs, they're super excited in the government. A lot of Democratic senators and representatives, especially a lot of Republicans, are totally fans of this. But bombing is complicated, and you can't simply talk about the cool, really big bombs. You have to acknowledge what actually goes on. In Syria, the US-led coalition accidentally bombed and killed 18 allied Syrian soldiers fighting against ISIS. That was yesterday. In what's being called the worst confirmed friendly fire incident in the war against ISIS thus far. Friendly fire happens in wars. 18 in one case, and it's apparently becoming more common. That is troubling. And if it is true that he's simply saying, now launch more missions, I want to see more bombs being dropped, you might see more stuff like that start to happen. According to the report, those 18 who died had just finished fighting off an attempt by ISIS to take that town. Mm. They were regrouping inside of a building and it was blown up and they were killed. That's one friendly fire incident. We've been talking a lot about civilian casualties. Don't forget that a US airstrike in Mosul killed an estimated 200 civilians last month. That was one strike killed 200 civilians. And by the way, air wars, which accumulates reports of both friendly fire incidents and also civilian casualties in war, said that in just March, there were 166 civilian casualties events in Iraq and Syria. It's a 67% increase since February. And it was already really high in February. There are literally thousands of civilians that died in Iraq and Syria just in March. We criticized Barack Obama for his strikes and the willingness to sacrifice civilians and how many died. The bar is going up every month in an incredibly scary way. It's troubling and difficult to make Barack Obama look like he was really trying to avoid civilian casualties, but Donald Trump is doing it.
And when we had adults running the Pentagon, you know, they came and said, look, if you go and keep dumping bombs into the Middle East, what you're creating is a terrorism factory, right? Mm-hmm. Every bomb you drop is going to produce hundreds, if not thousands, of terrorists. Look, if you bomb my family, like even if it was like for a good purpose, like if I was working for the Allies and then you bomb my family, like I'm gonna like wanna harm you to the end of my days, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what we're doing when we drop bombs on our allies, on civilians, and even on our enemies. There is no bombing solution to the problem we've created in the Middle East. And it feels like the song that never ends for whoever we elect president. They're like, more bombs. It's like more cowbell. More bombs in the Middle East. No, there. I want them there. You know, and like
bigger bombs.
It's the graveyard of empires. Yeah. It's the graveyard of empires. And we have a mad emperor now who's going to drop bombs all across the world, killing. He's a mass murderer already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If there was a bombing solution, we would have reached it 10 or 100,000 exactly. bombs ago, I think, exactly. because it's been a really long time. We've been in these conflicts for more than three times as long as I've been in this career. And it doesn't seem better. Does it seem better to you watching the video? Do you trust Donald Trump now that he just needed bigger bombs? That's the thing. We were dropping tiny bombs. That's not going to get the job done. We just need big, fat bombs.
Well, it depends on your metric of success. You know, your metric of success determines it. Raytheon stock has gone up.
Donald Trump owns some of it. They think it was a success. Hey. Look at that. They're playing a patriotic song.
I'm reminded of when we had Operation Rolling Thunder in Vietnam, and we bombed the shit out of you know the Vietnamese and bombed and carpet bombed. Took generations to repair the damage, but it did not deter the enemy and it did not defeat them.
Mm-hmm. And emboldened them.
Yes, that's right. And I don't understand this idea of bombing as a kind of means to resolving anything. We have never done anything, ended anything by dumping more bombs on anything. So, yeah, there's clearly no student of history in the White House. There's just Trump and Bannon. Bannon sees this as probably a moment where now's the time to end it once and for all. And it's a lot of civilians are going to die, and it's unfortunate.
Just one other thing I want to mention. So I've been talking a lot since the mob was dropped about the precedent. It's a scary precedent. Now, granted, in the short term, we can't drop many more of them. There were only about 15 produced, but they could make more. So we've just dropped it in the desert, trying to avoid civilian casualties, if you believe the military. A big Trump supporter, sheriff, tweeted this. I've been saying this for 10 years. Enough is enough. This Moab can be used on Mexican drug cartel. These are good days ahead. That guy does not have government authority. But now it's been used. The precedent has been set. If it was used in a remote province in Afghanistan, where might it be used tomorrow or next week? Will they produce more? We've already begun dropping them. When will we stop?
The most fascinating part about that article is that that guy, I think, was an elector, right? In the Electoral College.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, I think he was a Republican elector that voted for Donald Trump. So if you want to see like the people that go to the Electoral College, right, and like actually choose our president, it's like some sheriff like cheerleading us dropping bombs on like, you know, a lot of civilians and allied fighters and, you know, people throughout the Middle East. You know, those are the people that pick the president. It's not you and me. No. We choose some county sheriff, you know, that like tweets more idiotic things than Trump even does.
Yeah.
And that's who chooses the president.
Yeah.
I'm from Ohio, and that's where I was born. And I have never confronted this level of ignorance even when I was growing up there. So this is pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Good days ahead. We just fly over the border into Mexican airspace, drop that bomb on a bunch of people we think are dealing drugs, and we fix that whole drug problem.
Yeah.
Just fix it. Couple more.
I heard there's a lot of drug dealers in Mexico City.
You know what?
So just vaporize it with the mother of all bombs, problem solved.
You know? He probably saw the similarity between the tunnels and thought tunnels,
it can destroy
like everyone's
drug
working
tunnels.
Like
exactly.
Termites in these like so we can drug.
We should start a petition to bomb the border, to shut down all the drug cartel tunnels, like bomb the American border. We should just drop a Moab on the American border.
Signatures.
Yeah, and then we can build a, you know, wall out of the rubble that's created from the bombs dropping. It'll be like in Spartacus, if you watched that. You know, they had the dug trench and then the wall. That's what we can create.
The guy's the sheriff of Butler County, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. What? Doesn't he have other issues, like burning more important issues in Butler County than to be tweeting about the drug war?
Bombing the drug dealers. Yeah.
Never
bombing
mind.
The drug dealers. I mean, anyway, okay, with that, we are going to take our first break. I think we've given you more than enough to tweet us about if you've been tweeting hashtag TYT Live. We're going to take a break. When we come back, is Donald Trump actually at risk of losing his base? And if that happens, what does that mean for the country? We'll be back after this.
Patriotic.
It's patriotic music, okay? This music, that's what freedom is.
God, it feels like freedom.
Something. Welcome back to the Young Turks, everybody. Mm-hmm. Ryan and Brian and John. And sorry, I'm trying to sort through which ones I said I wanted to say. Okay, so we've got some hashtag TYT Lives for you. Dwayne says, hey, it's the guy from How the Power Panel Got Its Shape.
That's correct.
Nice. I like that. Let's see. Jim DeBow said, a lot of these are good. Jim DeBow says, bone spurs that kept our dear leader out of the draft don't seem to stop him from having other people drop bombs and go to war. Mm-hmm. That is true. Mm-hmm. Kind of reference on hair. Bart Kyle in the control room said, I'm just thankful that Fox and Friends didn't play You Drop the Bomb on Me by the Gap Band. I have no idea what that is. I don't know what that song is.
You don't know the song? You Drop the Bomb on Me. Come on, join me, baby. Thank you.
I don't know that.
Right.
Wow.
Sorry.
It was only like 1979.
Oh, now I remember.
Sorry.
Yeah, they should have saved a CD for my
perf. Let me tell you.
And then Rafer Madness said, hey, America, if you hit 9 simultaneous unnecessary conflicts, you get the 10th one for free. Well, that's the cool thing is that Donald Trump gets all of them for free. He can launch 59 cruise missiles. Doesn't matter to him. What the hell does he care? Yeah. His friends probably own the corporations making those bombs or missiles. It's ridiculous.
In fact, his stock goes up. So
exactly. And as we reported last week, it appears that he had Raytheon stock. He at least did a couple of years ago, and there's been no sign that he's gotten rid of it. So he might have made a small amount of money on that. But from his standards, it's not particularly corrupt, but it's still a little bit corrupt.
Feels okay. Like Catch 22. You guys remember the book Catch 22?
I read it right? In high school.
Where like you bomb the airfield, like they bombed their own airfield because it would like somebody like paid them to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like I feel like that's where America's like gone to right now. We have like, you know, Trump is like, yeah, well, sure, let's, you know, can we make money bombing our own border and building a wall? Sure, let's do that. That's we can it. Make money so many ways, bombing so many things. Oh, the places you'll bomb.
Oh, the place. That's a book right there. We got to write that book. Okay, let's jump.
Followed by the little bomb that could.
That's a big bomb.
The little Moab that could.
Little Moab that could.
Okay, let's jump back into it. Donald Trump has apparently learned over the past couple of weeks that if your approval ratings are going down, one way to at least stabilize, if not inch back up, is to begin dropping bombs. I was worried that he would learn that lesson. It surprisingly took him about 3 months, but he seems to have learned it. But his numbers are still going down. So we're gonna have a little discussion about what that might mean and how he might attempt to recover and what that would mean. First, we wanna bring up this chart. This is an aggregation of a lot of different approval rating polls. The black line is approval, which means that he's not doing too good there. But you see there that there was a gradual going down over the course of March, a jump up just a few days ago. Weird, I wonder where that came from. And then it starts going down again. And I believe that that barely includes post-Moab approval ratings. So we'll have to see what effect dropping the largest non-nuclear bomb that we have has on his approval ratings. But so at the same time that all this has been going on, especially because of Syria, it seems like some of his most high profile white nationalist and right wing supporters have started to question whether he's the man that they thought he was. I'm not gonna mention their names because I despise them and I don't wanna give them any press. But a lot of people have been hesitant, saying he didn't say anything about going into Syria. We thought he was gonna be a non-interventionist. And so I'm wondering, with that going on and him potentially booting Steve Bannon out of the White House, there's been some rumblings about that Jared Kushner is now the one with all the influence and the nationalists in the White House are sort of losing ground. What does it mean if he has to make that about face? If his base leaves him and he can't count on those people who are so, you know, MAGA, make America great again throughout the campaign, what do you think he might do other than just bombing across the Middle East? Like, how does he get those people back?
Does he get them back?
Does it matter that he's lost them? Like, what does it mean for the country either way?
I think in a sort of political way, the midterms are probably the most serious thing that could change. Mm-hmm. For if you have a unhappy base that then goes to the polls and sends someone else to fix it or counter or something like that. I think that is a possible scenario.
Or simply stays home.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they could just stay home. That's give true. Us Congress.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he is supposed to follow through with jobs, mm-hmm. and good, high paying quality jobs.
Yeah.
And so far that seems to be this other thing. And I think
separate from these other issues.
Yes. And there's healthcare, there's tax, you know, reform, and then there's this international conflict that seems to be sucking us into more and more. But I just think that I think the further he gets away from strategies that improve the economy for people who voted, that you'll see a disenfranchised base who will send Democrats or stay home.
I love it because now they're in on the con, right? They know that they've been conned by this guy who pretty much made like a career out of conning people out of their hard-earned money, right? And so now all these, like, you know, Make America Great Again red hats, which are like the brown shirts of our day, they're like, oh, he's not gonna do all the horrible, horrible things he promised us, right? And I think they will stay home for the midterms. I hope they do. But the most interesting thing to me about this article, 9 ultra-nationalist Trump supporters who are rapidly losing patience with his presidency, is like the description of the Trump coalition, okay? It's establishment Republicans, former Tea Party insurgents, Wall Street players, and clash of civilization ethno-nationalists. Oh. This is awesome. This is like the perfect description of the Trump coalition, right? It's like team of rivals meets confederacy of dunces, right? Mm-hmm. It's like how many idiots can we get in a room to make bad decisions and see what happens? Let's make a reality TV show. Horrible president.
And these groups also despise each other. That they're being forced to work together, but none of them seem to like each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, so it looks like there's like sort of Reince Priebus, is kind of going along with Bannon and Jared Kushner, but he has closer ties to establishment Republicans who have resisted him on a couple of issues so far since the inauguration. You have Steve Bannon, who looks like he's on the out but bouts, but who knows? It could just be a sort of framing thing, make you think that he's no longer as influential as he was. And then you have Jared Kushner. I think that each of those three is unique in how it would screw us over if they had his ear. But one might be better than the others. I know a lot of people think that if Jared Kushner actually is the one that Trump is listening to, that that's a good sign. I don't know, does that make you guys feel any better if it's not Steve Bannon, if Jared Kushner, the guy who's now in charge of reforming government, managing the peace process in the Middle East, he's dealing with China directly. He's 36 years old and he's in charge of basically every priority. He's gonna be in charge of North Korea.
I mean, better than Trump.
Does that make you feel better?
I mean, it's better than Trump doing it, for the love of God. I would take like a monkey in a hat over like Donald Trump negotiating with China. You know what I mean? Like, I think it would be, so yeah, Jared Kushner, is he better than that? But I mean, the best thing about this article is that they're fighting with each other, right? They're just amplifying the discord, which means they're not gonna be able to get anything accomplished. And hopefully they shove out that wing that's led under Bannon, because he's the most dangerous person in America and potentially the world right now. Mm-hmm. He is the guy that thinks we are in for a clash of civilizations, and that this moment is the moment where we have the fourth turning, which is some theory he believes in, right? Google it, all right? And it's gonna like end civilization, and there's this great 80-year cycle that's gonna be met. We have to get rid of that guy. He's rooting for world war, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think if it gets rid of Bannon, yeah, it's a good thing. But the basic fact for the Trump administration is they're fighting a two-front war now. They're fighting with the establishment, which they were fighting with already. Mm-hmm. And now their base of support is totally like fleeing them, right? For breaking all of their promises. And once you have a two-front war, you're in for some like deep trouble.
I mean, the question then is, if he's gonna try to reel one back in, which one would be easiest? I mean, there's some bills he could sign that the establishment Republicans, I think, would be big fans of. I think that they're largely going to agree on tax reform. I know that everybody's saying it's gonna be really difficult. I think there's some general principles that the Republicans have been working for a long time that he also supports. But I think the wild card in all this, like the dropping bombs in the Middle East and Syria and all that, that's one thing. But we still haven't seen what happens when there's a big terror attack inside of the US. And I think that how he responds to that and how he and perhaps Bannon try to use that could be horrifying. What legislation is passed in the wake of that? If you remember 9/11, big changes can happen in the wake of a big terror attack. I hope it doesn't happen, obviously, objectively, but also politically, that's a scary time. And he might be able to reel the far right back in by clamping down on civil rights and civil liberties then. Unfortunately, we do have to go to break. Harsh time constraints, unfortunately. I wish we could have kept going with that. But when we come back, lots more to cover. We'll see you in just a few. Welcome back, everybody. So now I have to wonder what message Bart is sending to us with each song that he chooses. But that was a good song. Ryan, Brian, and myself. One more story for you, and we're going to jump right into it so we have a little bit more time. This week, Donald Trump's stance on the environment has been laid clear. It's right out there for anybody to see what he's going to do in terms of climate change and toxins in your water. It's all out there, but unfortunately, people are really distracted with North Korea and Syria, perhaps understandably. So we're gonna try to catch you up at the close of this week on what's going on. First, we have Scott Pruitt, though, head of the EPA. He's got a major address on the future of environmental regulation, which he's gonna deliver in this video from a coal mine.
Many of you from across your company were with us in Washington, D.C. Approximately 2 weeks ago. At the EPA, President Trump, along with Vice President Pence, Secretary Zinke, and Secretary Perry, and myself were there to recognize and sign an executive order that said the war on coal is done. It's over. It's something that's really sad over the last several years that a regulatory body, the federal government of the United States, would declare a war on any part of our economy. This complex, as Jimmy indicated, largest underground mining complex in the country. You have an underground training center. You use some of the latest mining technologies in the industry. I'm looking forward to putting on those suits you got on, going down and checking it out, and having fun doing so, because I want to learn.
So that sounds like a lobbyist for the coal industry. He's the guy who's supposed to be protecting the environment, talking about the war on coal is now over, which is awesome. So he's at a coal mine. It's a particularly bad coal mine for this set of issues. because Consol Energy, which operates that mine, was fined $3 million back in August for discharging contaminated wastewater into streams that flow into the Ohio River. In the settlement with the EPA and the Justice Department, it emerged that the mining operation exceeded the effluent limits at least 188 times over a 9-year period. But that's the one that he chose to speak from. Also ironic in that that company has indicated that it wants to exit the coal business entirely. But the war on coal is over, so now I guess you can leave because it's safe. There's no war anymore. And so, look, Scott Pruitt, we've been reporting on him for several months. He's a particularly bad guy when it comes to this issue. But overall, Trump's approach to the EPA is horrendous. The Trump administration's proposed budget cuts the agency's budget by 3%. It's actually larger than that. Recently leaked EPA documents outline plans to cut the workforce by 25% while eliminating some 56 programs, including programs aimed at monitoring and protecting public health and the environment, which is sort of the point of that organization. They're also proposing sharp cuts in the EPA's Office of Criminal Enforcement, with the budget calling for reductions in civil and criminal enforcement of almost 60%, leaving just $4 million for all of their investigations. You might have also missed, it came out this week that Scott Pruitt, the guy from that video, is asking for 10 additional full-time bodyguards. So remember, $4 million for investigations into infringements on the environment. The estimated cost of those 10 additional bodyguards for 1 year, $8 million.
Bodyguards for himself?
For himself.
Why 10?
Because the left hates him so much that he's scared for his life.
Ten
because
of
they
them?
Foment additional.
Around the clock.
He already has protection. It's 10 additional bodyguards.
That's the
and it would cost far more than all of their enforcement efforts on violations concerning the environment.
And that's the irony of this, right? Because they're literally removing the protections for the people of America, things that affect millions of people in America, the protections around our water and around our air and around how much chemical you can dump downstream from somebody's, you know, drinking well, right?
Yeah.
That's they're removing the protections for the people, and they're enhancing the protections for the people in their administration.
Well,
and
after you let people dump toxic wastewater, you probably need the extra
bodyguards. Going to attack him? Who's going to try to hurt him?
Libs.
I mean,
environmentalists.
Environmentalists? I mean,
that's who they're really afraid of. They're literally afraid
of. They say
of, like,
that's who they're afraid
environmentalists,
of.
Right? And it's projection, though, right? Because they would think if someone poisoned my children, you know what I'd do? I'd fucking kill them. That's what they think, right? They're the Second Amendment gun-toting nut jobs that are like, hey, if somebody did that to me, I'd kill them. So if we're going to do this to millions of people, we should probably add protection because someone might want to kill us. But it's really projection from on their part.
This seems like a no-win at the federal level. I think people in states are going to have to just basically declare war and on the feds when it comes to environmentalism. And essentially protect their own state, just and openly defy them.
Well, that's why he needs bodyguards.
And there you go.
Yeah,
I mean,
California
they're going to have to adjudicate all this stuff. Like California is. I mean, basically, fuck you. We're not doing this.
Right. Yeah. And Pruitt is the guy who sent letters to the EPA saying, like, you know, complaining on behalf of the industry. They literally took a letter from an energy company, put it on his letterhead when he was, like, you know, Attorney General or Secretary of State from wherever the hell he was from. And sent it to the EPA saying, remove these regulations, remove these restrictions, right? He's an industry shill in public office. And it's just part, and he's like against everything the EPA stands
for.
The
media doesn't report on any of this shit. Because you know what's not sexy to them? Environmental stories.
No, not at all.
They don't care.
And it's part of Bannon's like larger deconstruction project. They're appointing people to the heads of these government agencies who will deconstruct them, who will cripple and break and toss away the federal government apparatus. I like the government. You know what the government created? The internet, okay? Does everybody love the internet here? I love the internet. Do you love the internet? Our government does really cool things, right? They do some stupid things, but they do really cool things too.
You know, I like it to environmental be regulations.
Yeah,
I like protections for the environment.
Exactly.
I like protections for public health.
I like water.
Also happening this week, the Trump administration paused an Obama-era regulation aimed at limiting the dumping of toxic metals such as arsenic and mercury by the nation's power plants into public waterways. Obama was going to stop that. They've now stopped the stopping, and so that stuff can go back into your water. Also, he announced this week, Scott Pruitt did, that we need to get out of the Paris Climate Accords.
Yeah.
So you potentially have that to look forward to. Sorry to be closing out the political part of this week from the show on such bad news, but it is serious. Syria's bad, North Korea's bad, but that's not all that's going on. The
bombs are falling everywhere.
And exactly. That's what freedom looks like.
Yeah. So unfortunately, that's going to have to be the end of the first hour for today. Thank you to both of you for joining me. We're both going to be at the march.
Mm-hmm.
So tax day march, try to get Trump to release his taxes. It's going to be happening tomorrow in LA and a number of other cities. You can possibly get your Trump puppets in both full size and finger puppets as well.
As we go to taxmarch.org
and
puppettrump.com.
Puppettrump.com. And as we go to break, we want to give you an update from TYT Politics on what's going on in East Chicago right now on those forced evictions. We've got some activists who are pushing hard, a judge siding with them. You're going to see it in this update.